Ever feel like the news is just one giant tech jargon word salad? You know, like you need a decoder ring just to understand what's going
It
on.
can definitely feel that way sometimes.
Well, today we're diving into a story that sounds like something straight out of a spy thriller.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really about your data and how vulnerable even those big companies you think are super secure can be.
Sounds juicy laid on me.
We're talking about a major cyber espionage campaign. And this article, we found details the whole thing. Buckle up, because this isn't some kids messing around in their basement.
No kidding. Who are we talking about here?
This is some serious, organized stuff.
All right, I'm intrigued.
The group is known as Salt Typhoon, or Red Mike, depending on who you ask.
Okay, I've heard that name before, I think.
And get this, they're believed to be backed by the Chinese government.
State-sponsored hackers. That definitely takes things to a whole other level.
Right. So that's our mission today. Figure out how they pulled this off, who they targeted, and what it means for, well, all of us in a world that's like completely hooked on technology.
We're talking about way more than just stealing data here.
Exactly. It's about power, influence, maybe even control over like critical infrastructure, the stuff that keeps our lights on and the internet running.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty. What exactly did they do?
So the article says Red Mike targeted over 1,000 Cisco devices.
Cisco, wait, like the networking equipment, Cisco?
The one and only.
Wow.
And I'm talking the backbone of the internet, kind of Cisco. You know, the stuff you probably never even think about, but makes it possible to like send this podcast out into the world.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal. Everyone uses Cisco, it's everywhere. So what, they just went on a hacking spree against any Cisco device they could find?
It's even more specific than that, which is kind of what makes it so scary. They went after devices running a particular software, Cisco's iOS EC software.
So not just any Cisco equipment, but this specific software. I'm guessing they found some weakness in it.
Bingo. They exploited two known vulnerabilities. Get ready for some tech jargon, CVE-2023-2198 and CVE-2023-2273.
I was going to say, those sound familiar. Weren't those publicly disclosed back in, what was it, 2023?
Yep, that's right. So you'd think, right, that once these vulnerabilities were out in the open, everyone would have patched their systems, you know, like updating your phone to fix a security bug.
You'd think so, but I guess that's not what happened here.
Nope. Red Mike was still able to use those vulnerabilities even though the security flaws were known. It's like knowing there's a hole in your fence, but just leaving it there for anyone to walk through.
Right, it's like leaving your front door wide open even after the neighborhood watch warned you about burglars. Classic.
Totally, and it really highlights how important patching systems is. I mean, seriously, people, update your stuff.
Absolutely. And these weren't just like minor glitches. We're talking serious vulnerabilities.
Okay, so break it down for us. What exactly did these vulnerabilities let them do?
Well, the first one let them bypass authentication to get into the device's web user interface.
So they basically picked the lock on the front door.
In a way, yeah. But then it gets worse.
Oh no, there's more.
From there, they use this other vulnerability, a buffer overflow vulnerability.
Okay, hold up. I gotta stop you there. Buffer overflow. You gotta explain that one.
Right, sorry. Imagine you have a container designed to hold a certain amount of data, right?
Okay, got it.
A buffer overflow is like trying to shove too much stuff into that container. It spills over and messes everything up.
Ah, so it's like data overload.
Kinda, yeah. But in this case, that overflow let the hackers run their own malicious code on the device.
Whoa, so they basically took over the whole system.
Pretty much.
That's wild.
And it gets even sneakier. To make matters worse, they use this thing called GRE tunneling to cover their tracks.
GRE tunneling? That doesn't sound like something I learned about in networking class.
It's not something you'd stumble upon in a beginner's guide to networking, that's for sure.
Okay, so what is it then?
Think of it like this. Instead of sending data through the normal channels where it could be monitored and flagged as suspicious, they created this secret pathway.
Oh, so like a hidden tunnel.
Exactly. They basically built a secret underground passage to sneak their data out right under everyone's noses.
That is seriously sneaky. So who were they targeting with all the sophisticated spy stuff? Like, who gets hit with this digital ninja warrior move?
Their victims were a mix of telecommunications companies and universities.
Telecom companies, that makes sense. Spying on calls, disrupting communications, that's classic espionage stuff. But universities, what's so interesting about them?
Think about the kind of research happening at universities.
Yeah, okay, cutting-edge technology, scientific breakthroughs.
Exactly. And some of that research could even be related to national security. Stealing intellectual property from universities is a way for China to jump ahead in the global tech race.
Ah, so it's not just about stealing data, it's about gaining an advantage, maybe even slowing down other countries.
Exactly. And this wasn't just some small-scale operation. They hit some big names, UCLA, TU Delft in the Netherlands.
Oh, wow, I've heard of that one.
And it goes on. Institutions across Argentina, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Mexico, Vietnam.
Global domination, basically.
Pretty much. Over 50% of the attacks were in the US, South America, and India. They were even poking around in Myanmar's telecom systems.
Wow, so this wasn't just a local problem.
Not at all. And here's where it gets really unsettling. They also targeted something called lawful intercept systems.
Lawful intercept systems? What are those?
These are systems law enforcement uses to monitor communications legally, you know, with warrants and all that.
Wait, so they were hacking into systems that are designed to, like, spy on people?
That's right. They wanted to know how their adversaries were monitoring them.
That is some next-level stuff. It's kind of creepy, to be honest.
It definitely raises some serious concerns.
So, is there anything, any hope at all? Can we stop this? Or are we all just doomed?
Hold on, don't despair just yet.
I mean, it's like something out of a movie, you know? Hacking into spy systems, it's pretty wild.
It really shows you how brazen they are, how far they're willing to go, and the level of sophistication. It's not just kids with laptops anymore. This is a whole different ballgame.
Okay, well, enough doom and gloom. Let's talk solutions. What can we do? Like, what can people do to actually protect themselves?
Well, first things first, patch your systems. Make sure everything is updated with the latest security patches.
Yeah, okay, patching. I feel like we hear that all the time. But is that really enough?
It's the absolute minimum, really. You wouldn't believe how many people and organizations just ignore those updates. And that's like leaving a welcome mat out for the hackers.
Right, because those patches are fixing the holes that hackers could exploit.
Exactly. But yeah, it's not just about reacting to threats. It's about getting ahead of them, too. One thing you can do is limit how exposed your web interfaces are.
Exposed. What does that even mean?
Think about all the ways you can access a device or a system online. Every single one of those is a potential entry point for a hacker.
Okay, so the fewer entry points, the harder it is to break in. Got it.
That's the idea. It's like locking your doors and windows. It might not stop a determined intruder, but it makes it a lot harder.
Makes sense. What about encryption? I feel like that gets thrown around a lot, but I don't really get what it is or how it helps.
Encryption is basically scrambling your data so that it's unreadable without the right key.
Ah, okay, so it's like putting your message in a secret code.
Yeah, kind of like that. It makes it much harder for someone to steal your data or spy on your communications.
So is that something everyone should be doing, or is it more for, like, companies and governments?
It's important for everyone, really. There are tools you can use to encrypt your emails, your messages, even your internet traffic.
Oh, wow. So there are things individuals can do. That's good to know.
And for companies, encrypting sensitive data is non-negotiable. It's a basic security requirement.
Okay, so encryption, dot check. What else?
The article also mentions security audits and penetration testing. Have you heard of those?
Vaguely. I think I saw a movie where they did that, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
So basically, you hire ethical hackers to try and break into your systems.
Wait, what? You hire someone to hack you?
Yeah, it sounds kind of crazy, but it's actually really smart.
How so?
Because they can find the weaknesses in your defenses before the bad guys do. It's like a controlled test to see how strong your security is.
So it's like a fire drill for your computer systems.
Exactly. And it's not just about finding the vulnerabilities, it's about fixing them. That's where the security audit comes in. It's a systematic review of your security practices to make sure everything is up to snuff.
So it's like getting a check-it for your digital health.
I like that analogy. And it's not just about protecting yourself, it's about protecting everyone.
Right, because if one system is vulnerable, it could put others at risk too. It's like a chain reaction.
Exactly. So yeah, security audit and penetration testing, those are definitely important.
Okay, but are those things that everyone can do? I feel like that's got to be expensive.
It can be, especially for smaller organizations. But there are options out there like vulnerability scanners and open source penetration testing tools that can at least give you a basic assessment.
So there are ways to get started without breaking the bank.
Right. And honestly, even those basic steps can make a big difference.
So it's better to do something than nothing, even if it's not perfect.
Exactly. And the potential cost of an attack far outweighs the investment in security. That's something people need to keep in mind.
Okay, so we've talked about what individuals and companies can do. But what about a global response? Like, is anyone trying to stop these state-sponsored hacking groups?
Well, there have been some efforts to hold them accountable. In response to the Red Mike attacks, the U.S. Treasury Department sanctioned a Chinese contractor linked to the group.
Sanctions, so like economic penalties.
Yeah, basically, they're trying to restrict their access to financial systems, make it harder for them to operate.
So hit them where it hurts, the wallet. Does that actually work, though? I mean, can you really stop a government with sanctions?
It's a complex issue. Sanctions can definitely put pressure on them, limit their resources, but they might not always be enough to deter a determined adversary.
Especially when they have the backing of a powerful government.
Right. It's not a simple problem with a simple solution. This is about international relations, diplomacy, power dynamics. It's bigger than just technology.
So cybersecurity is now a global issue, not just a tech issue.
Absolutely. It requires cooperation, intelligence sharing, a unified front against these threats. We need everyone working together to hold these actors accountable.
Wow. Okay, I think we've covered a lot here, from state-sponsored hacking to practical tips for staying safe online. This has been quite the deep dive.
We've gone from spy thrillers to security checkups to global politics, all in one episode.
It's been fascinating, but I gotta admit, it's a little overwhelming.
I get it. It can be a lot to take in.
Like, where do we even go from here? What can we do as individuals when we're up against these massive, powerful forces?
That's a great question, and we'll dive into that right after the break.
I mean, it feels like David and Goliath, you know, little old us versus these giant, powerful hacking groups.
I hear you. It can definitely feel like that. But it's not about, like, single-handedly taking down these nation-state actors, right?
Yeah, that's a bit out of my league, I think.
It's about, like, understanding the reality of this threat, acknowledging that it's out there.
Okay, so awareness is key.
Exactly. Knowledge is power, right? And once you know what's at stake and why these groups are going after our data, you can actually start taking steps to protect yourself.
Okay, I like that. So what kind of steps are we talking about?
Well, a lot of it comes down to basic cyber hygiene. You know, the stuff we hear all the time, but it really does make a difference.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Strong passwords, for starters. I know, everyone says it, but it's so important.
Yeah, no, I get it. A strong password can be a difference between someone getting into your accounts or not.
Exactly. And two-factor authentication, that's another big one.
Two-factor, that's where they send you a code to your phone or email, right?
Yep, that's it. It adds an extra layer of security.
Okay, so strong passwords, two-factor authentication, what else?
Be careful about what links you click on. Especially in emails.
Oh, yeah, phishing scams. Those are getting really sophisticated.
Seriously. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what's fake.
I almost fell for one a while back. An email that looked exactly like it was from my bank asking me to update my info.
It happens to the best of us. The key is to be cautious. Never click on a link or download an attachment unless you're absolutely sure it's legit.
So double check the sender, hover over links to see where they actually go. Good advice.
And if you think seems even a little bit off, contact the organization directly. Go to their website, call their official number. Don't just trust the email.
Got it. Thinking before you click.
Exactly. And what about public Wi-Fi? Do you use that much?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Coffee shops, airports, you name it.
It's convenient, I get it, but it can also be risky. If you have to use public Wi-Fi, try to avoid accessing sensitive information, like your bank account or online shopping.
Okay, so no banking on public Wi-Fi. Noted.
And consider using a VPN.
A VPN.
Yeah, it stands for Virtual Private Network. It basically encrypts your internet traffic so that it's much harder for anyone to snoop on your data.
Oh, so it's like a tunnel for your data.
Exactly. It keeps your information safe, even when you're on a public network.
VPN for public Wi-Fi. Got it. Anything else?
Don't forget about your home network. That's important, too.
My home network, like my Wi-Fi router.
Yep, that's the one. Make sure it has a strong password and that you're using the latest firmware.
Firmware, is that like an update for the router?
Yeah, exactly. It'll help keep your router secure.
Okay, strong password, updated firmware.
And enable the firewall on your computer. That's another layer of protection.
It's like building a fortress around your data.
Exactly, and keep your antivirus software up to date, too.
Okay, antivirus check. So it's all about layers, right?
Layers of protection, absolutely. Every little bit helps.
And if we're ever unsure about something, it's okay to ask for help, right?
Of course. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone you trust or do some research online. There are a ton of resources out there from reputable cybersecurity organizations.
That's good advice. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all this stuff, but it sounds like there are things we can do, even as individuals, to make a difference.
Absolutely. We all have a role to play in keeping ourselves and each other safe online.
Well said. This has been a fascinating deep dive. We've learned a lot about state-sponsored hacking, how to protect ourselves, the global implications. It's a lot to think about.
It is. But the more we know, the better equipped we are to face these challenges.
Exactly. So stay informed, stay safe, and stay curious.
Well said. Until next time.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of the world around us.
Embassy L.